Well, let's continue with this. Now, another thing that was mentioned in this parable is that Lazarus, and of course we know that that's meaning the people, says going to be comforted. He was comforted. Lazarus was comforted. Well, you might think that, just a word in there. Well, no. No, it's a very important word in there. That's what God is all about. That's what he's all about. Remember when Christ left, well, it almost sounded like he left the church there, didn't he? After Christ's death, and he returned and was there with the apostles, that when he was going to go, he says, well, yeah, I'm going to go away and all that, but he said, I'm going to send a comforter. And that Holy Spirit was going to bring in that power to give us peace and joy in our lives. Yes, in this world, we still have a lot of grief because it's Satan's world. That's what's going to happen. But God also gives us an inner peace. With all that's going around on the outside, he can still give a peace and a peace of mind that we've never experienced before. And he gives comfort. He doesn't want, these parables, all the little words in there mean something. And when you know what all these different means, these phrases that Christ used within that whole parable, and you start to see this as a huge picture. This parable is a huge picture. The very plan of salvation. It's just incredible. It's incredible. So let's look at this word comforted. He was comforted. Let's see what God says about that. And I could tell you pretty much so. We'll be having one more. We'll have one more in this series, which I was kind of looking for a little more time anyway, because I want to do some things on the end of this for especially newer people that just hear this at the beginning to put down some other basic things. But in Isaiah 49, I want to do it complete so that when people come in, they say, well, what about this Lazarus thing? Oh, you have a question about that? We'll send you that series. You see, if I put in my work properly now, it saves me all kinds of time and going over this over and over and over, doesn't it? And we can all get on then with newer things that God reveals. And so we take care of the things at hand, because there are going to be thousands and tens of thousands of people coming back to the pasture. And there's going to be new sheep that never even were in the pasture. And they need to know all of this. And God is giving us the time right now to do this. And all of you who have recently come in, I know appreciate the tapes that you get. But this is 3 years' work already involved in all of this. And it was already planned to be there and to be done so when you came in, you would have the food. And we're doing this for all that will come in the future. So, God does things in a very methodical way, in a very good way. This is his church, and always remember it. And Jesus Christ is the head of it. And he runs it, he rules it, he directs it. We're just hirelings. We're just servants to what he wants. And we already see the wisdom in how he has been doing this. Isaiah 49, starting in verse 13 here. It says, sing, O heavens. We're breaking into this, but again, the main theme of this whole book is the great last day. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing. Well, this has to be in the great last day. Earth would never do that before that time. It says, O mountains, bring forth in singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. So all these people come up in the great last day, that second resurrection, that great harvest. All human beings come up. And look what God's going to do. What's that parable showing? It shows and it says very plainly that Lazarus is comforted. So what happens? Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Fits right into that parable, doesn't it? Real nice. It slips right in there when you know what that parable is picturing. God knows what he's doing. Isaiah 51. And of course, that little snotty son that changed the Sabbath and did away with the law and did all that little snot-nosed kid. Well, that little snot-nosed kid, guess what he's saying here? He's the one giving the parables, isn't he? Seems like he and his father are one, doesn't it? Seems like they love one another, doesn't it? Seems like Jesus Christ kind of goes along with God's plan, doesn't it? Yes. You throw away the law of God, you throw away God. God is that law, and that law is love. And without it, God doesn't exist. That's what makes him God. That's what makes him perfect. We'll come to really appreciate that later. In Isaiah 51, verse 3, it says, For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and the desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. There's going to be peace. Comforted? Yes, the whole nation. Yes, the whole world. In verse 12, same chapter here, chapter 51. It says, I am he that comforteth you. He comforts you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die? And in this it should be, you know, a man or angel, translators. So who would they put in there? Man. No, they should put angel in there. Why should you be afraid of an angel that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? I was all referring to that. Why would you be frightened of that? God's the one that's going to comfort you. You don't have to be afraid of that. In Isaiah 52, it's all in the same context of what he's going to do in this great last day. Isaiah 52, verse 9. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Marvelous! He is the one who comforts. While we're in Isaiah, Isaiah 66. Isaiah 666. No, it's only Isaiah 66. If I was going to verse 6, then we would get confused, wouldn't we? Isaiah 66, verse 13. He says, as one whom his mother comforted. That's what he's going to do to Israel, to the whole world. So will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Marvelous. Marvelous. Matthew 5. That hasn't been sent out to the church yet. I've been kind of doing that on the road. When we get the series done, we'll send it out to everyone. It is, or we'll probably just show it in the churches. It's Sermon on the Mount. I've been going through that. I think after two sermons, I think I got up to verse 15 on this, because it is loaded. This is telling the entire plan of God right here. It's all there. I'm just going to pull this out of context. Well, same context, but pull this one verse out. Matthew 5, verse 4. It says, "Blessed are they that mourn." That's all the people on earth. "For they shall be comforted." Did Christ lie? No. Did he say that Lazarus, representing the entire great harvest, and Abraham and all them in this vision, this not vision but parable, were they going to be comforted? Yes. Why? Because they're in the great last day, and they're living forever, and they're with God, and Satan is no more. He doesn't throw around words. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 1. Right. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Yeah, I put another one there. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. This is who your Father is. This is why the parable is showing this. He's the Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort. Was it just a loose word Christ used within the parable? About, by the way, maybe Lazarus had some comfort there. Oh, no. No, God has all that in his mind. And when he inspires, it's always a fullness. There's always a fullness in all of this. I didn't have this in my notes, but let's just keep reading verse 4 here. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, even right now, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's to you and me, brethren. Right now, he is comforting us. It says, "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ." And, you know, we're going through the same thing that Christ lived through. Unfortunately for us, he had the full measure of all the fruits of God's Spirit so he could be perfect. That wasn't our designated spot. God has made us perfect through that baptism. Our physical bodies continue to run around like Paul and sin. But it makes you certainly appreciate God's mercy a lot more. Now, we don't want to sin more so we get to know God's mercy more. You know, one of the apostles, Paul, said, God forbid, let's not do that. But it's just going to happen in daily life. And we see Satan around us more and more and more, don't we? Every time we try to do the right, there's the bad. So we can thank God that he is protecting us. And we appear at all times right now. Once you're baptized, once you receive God's Holy Spirit and you are sealed, you appear before God in that throne white as snow, clean, pure. No sin, without guile. without anything, just one of God's children. And so when you go before Him on your knees and you ask Him for anything, He's there. In fact, His Spirit was the one who had you get on your knees to pray in the first place. You see all these other human beings running around praying? And when they do, it's just vain repetition anyway, where it's all gimme, 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 gimme. And that's what we all did. Now, as you are in the church longer and learn more about this and the great plan of salvation, you know, your prayers will be like my prayers. And they start to go more and more to the thank you. You're so glorious. This plan is so wonderful. Thank you for letting me have breath that we can even do this and understand this. And all the gimmies start to go away. Say, well, you know, well, we have these physical needs and concerns, but you said that you'll take care of this. And we certainly hope you're going to, you know. And but that's you. You know, we go by your will and by what you're doing. And he even comforts us in our prayers now, doesn't he? And when you do need to cry out in some great pain or stress that you're going through, you know that he's hearing you. He's your Father. He comforts you. I know some people who are going through some this horrible, you know, they're not in the church here. They're part of the old church and all that, and they're going through some, you know, horrible medical situations with their family. And seems like when one then something else happens to somebody else, and something happens to somebody else. And I go, man, I wish that I could comfort that. I wish I could help that. The only thing I can do is give them this truth that will bring peace in their life and give them comfort in their life. But that's already been rejected as far as it's going right now. So I have nothing, I can't help them in any way. And here we're sitting on this great comfort. But, you know, God has to do this. And if they're not comforted now, they will be later. And that's what we have to have our hope and confidence in. And God has a plan. It's got to be worked out, and it'll work out that way. So this shows on this word comforted why Lazarus was comforted. Why did he throw that in? Well, it's a big thing to throw in. It's part of that whole picture. And to know what's really going to happen. He was so strong within Jesus Christ that he could be inspired to say this, and he could say it with feeling and mean it, not going, oh, I wonder what God's saying here. Oh, I don't know if it's going to be that way. No, he knew. And when that all came into his mind to say it that way, as he was speaking, it just came out, and he was going, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. The great harvest will be comforted. Perfect. Holy Bible. It's the only thing that's inspired that we really have. And then, with all the mistranslations, you just better view it from afar a little bit and get the overall thing, because it comes through even with the mistranslations in it. Satan tries his best, but he's a failure. Always remember, Satan is a failure. And you can always see through failure. And you'll always see through his garbage. Now, going on with the parable, all of a sudden, the rich man, old Satan, says, wait a minute. There's this great gulf. There's this great gulf. And he's not talking about a Gulfstream jet here. This is a great gulf. It's not the Gulf of Mexico either. There is something between Lazarus, Abraham, and the rich man. And it can't be crossed. It can't be passed. You know, this is the only time in history when that saying comes in, when you ask somebody directions and they say, can't get there from here. You know, can't get there from here. I've had people tell me that. And I said, well, thanks. I'll go on to the next gas station, you know. And you can't get there from where he is. You can't get across that gulf. God makes this very plain. Now, we all thought, by the way we were taught, even in the old Protestant religions, that this guy was sitting in hell and the other people in heaven, you just can't get there. Well, in effect, that was right. See how Satan does that? The biggest lie is the one closest to the truth. But Satan had all of us sitting there in hell and looking over that gulf and going, oh, I don't know if I can be there. And the ministry would go, do you want to be sitting on the other side of that gulf? Or do you want to be righteous like me and be on the other side? You know, that's what was coming through. Well, it's not by choice. All of us, all mankind, is already over that gulf. We're already on the right side of that gulf. We just don't know it, you know. And that will come. And Satan has already been destined. And by the law of God and the Ten Commandments, he is absolutely sentenced to death. He has no sacrifice for him. And he is a murderer. And he murdered Jesus Christ. And he will die forever for that. So let's look at this. This great gulf. There is one. There really is. We have to see it in the right perspective. Turn here to Matthew 25. One of my favorite scriptures. I always use it in the great last day. You'll hear it again because it's... Of course, I'm looking in Peter, so I won't be finding Matthew in there. So I start talking and... You know, some people just cannot chew gum and walk across the street at the same time. And I know I've been around a lot of you here, so and I know that affects some of you too, so I'm not alone in that. Matthew 25. This last part of this little parable here, there's three of them, but this last part is an absolute view of the white throne judgment, as it was called before. You see this white throne, and there is going to be the judgment. And this is what's going to happen. And I can't just explain all the background just with this. You can listen to the other Holy Day tapes and find that, of course. But the goats here are referring to Satan the devil. The goats have always pictured Satan. The sheep has always pictured people. Can't get around that. So here it is in a parable. Here it is in a vision, whatever. Here it is. What's going to happen way at the end. Guess what? Christ already talks about this. It's already there. It's another parable. He spoke all things in parables so the people could not understand. You know? They couldn't understand. We never did. We never did see this. Now we're very close here, so we get to see it. It's a marvelous thing. Many, many have come before us and died in the church as first fruits. They never got to see this. They didn't need to see it for salvation. It's just like a perk, you know, while you're living, that's all. But this is wonderful. So we'll start here in verse 31. Remember, white throne judgment, Christ right there, the Father there. All beings have been resurrected in great last harvest here at that second resurrection. All the people are there, and then Satan and all of his angels are there. That's the picture. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the only time he comes in his glory is on that last great day. And all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And that's what you see back there in Revelation at the end. And before him shall be gathered all nations. These are all peoples, everybody. everything that existed. And he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divides his, or a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Yeah, the goats. Sheep and the goats. These are the players. Would you like to be standing there at that time as a human being and be representing like Babylon? You know, the spiritual city of Babylon? Satan's throne? Satan's way? No, you won't be representing that. Now, there may be people that grew up in the old city of Babylon and all of that. Well, they certainly quickly scurry over to where Israel is standing or something. But when it talks about nations, it's talking about all those spiritual nations too and what Satan has done. And he says, now the shepherd's going to divide it from his sheep from the goats. And he says, no discussions, nobody coming up and saying, well, I did this, I didn't. Oh, then you go over here. Well, what about you? You know, those other sins, you get over there. No, nothing like that. They all died. Everyone has died for their sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ has come upon all human beings. And they come up the right way. And God's Spirit is all around them, in them, it's there, it's right there. Satan no longer has power over any human being to direct them in any way. So he says, not a lot of talk here, and in verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and all of the goats on his left hand. Wasn't a lot of discussion. Wasn't any lawyers in here pleading anyone's case. All the sheep, all the people, move over here to the right. All the satanic beings with Satan, move over there to the left. Let's have this great gulf right now. Right there. And after he does this, and then he comes and says, boy, you people, you snuck through by the skin of your teeth. Well, no. You guys are really rotten and bad, but I'm going to let it pass this. No. What does he say? Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, all of the sheep, all the people who have ever lived, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Pretty nice. It was prepared from the foundation of the world for all human beings. So it wasn't a guessing game. You were not going to have anything to say about it. It was Satan with the great lie in the Garden of Eden. The one he built the whole counterfeit in. Oh, no. You have a choice. You can take that apple. You can take that fruit. Oh, no, you can choose. God didn't tell him that. Satan did. He's been telling people ever since. You have the right of choice. Don't take that away from me. And what choice does everyone always make? The wrong one. And that's just physical, let alone spiritual. But Mr. Roundspeech, I think we have free moral agency. Yeah, go have to it. Have to. You want to go out there and have it. And when you get tired of it, come back. When you glorify God, come back. When you give Him all the credit, come back. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Pretty nice. People hate this, but this is pretty nice. This is pretty nice. And he says, and don't get confused here when he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Remember, they're on the earth. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And that is going to be the kingdom of God. That's what it is. You, all of you, and all of you out there, part of the 144,000, you're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ and inherit all things. All things. You're going to be spirit beings. A little different. They will serve the Father, so will we, just in a different situation. And we're going to be able to serve all of our brethren forever. You know, those are all your children down there. If you're part of the family, then we're all relatives, aren't we? We all came from the same blood. All came from Adam and Eve. All related somehow. That tree is going to get awfully big, and you know that family tree is going to start to fall over if we're not careful. Well, we'll do it on different. We'll do a lateral tree there so it doesn't fall over. But then he says, we have to go over there to verse 41. Oh, he's going to be talking to the goats, Satan and all the demons. Brute beasts made to be destroyed. The evil ones, the ones who cannot cease from sin. They cannot repent. They cannot change because they do not have God's Spirit in them. And they can't. The only way you can is with God's Spirit. That's not offered to them and never will be. They were made to be destroyed. You must learn to hate, in their proper way, hate evil. That's the beginning of real wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And when you finally see Satan for what he is and start to hate that thing, you get God's knowledge up there. Again, it's not a choice, it's a process that God will do within you. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left, Satan and the demons. Of course, in the video, you're seeing his opposite, I guess. But close your eyes and just listen. Then, when I'm putting my arms around on the left, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed." Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you can't get over that gulf in the first place, but if you actually did, and you went over there, and you say, well, I want to jump into hell. The guy would say, well, the angel would say, well, where's your reservations? Well, I don't have any. He said, well, you can't come here then. It's just that simple. I know you're all... It's an old joke, and you just can't pass it up. You know, when you get to a restaurant and stuff, and there's all a big line, and you can never get in, the maitre d' doesn't let you in, and you're waiting there, and all of a sudden this guy comes up, and the guy goes right in. And you get up to say, you know, I've been waiting here an hour. How come that guy got in? He says, well, he's an Indian. He's got reservations. So, okay. It's an old joke. You know, I hope that's not racist or anything. I don't mean it to be that. It's an old joke. It's the same thing here. Yet it's reserved for Satan and the demons and the devils. No reservations. You can't get in. It wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for human beings. It only accepts the thing it was made for. Think God's going to slip up? No. That's why I gave the parable 2,000 years ago, right there, through his Son, backing up everything that the Father was saying through the Old Testament. He has his Son now on the earth saying, oh no, this is the way it's going to be. Oh, it's going to be the same way. It's going to be exactly the same way my Father laid it out. There is only one way. It's perfect. And that's the way it's going to be. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to worry about that. There's enough to worry about in this lousy satanic earth. You shouldn't have to worry about your salvation. And we don't anymore. Now we just want to continue to grow and continue to grow in what He gives us in the fruit of His Spirit and to begin to get the fullness of that. That's the joy. That's the wonderful part. We're going to go through this lousy life and then someday we're going to die or get changed. Same thing. But look what's coming. Look what's ahead. Look what's absolute surety for all of us. Tremendous. Tremendous. So there is this great gulf there, isn't there? Back to Revelation 20. But it's not the way that we thought before. Well, all the good people and bad people. No, no, we almost had it right. It is the good and it is the bad. The good being the human beings and the bad being Satan. You see how Satan counterfeits? It's so close to the truth. But it's not. The biggest lie is the one closest to the truth. It's the one really that's most easily accepted as well. Because it's a counterfeit. If it was too big of a counterfeit, I mean, if it was just plain, you know, you buy these Nike shoes and it doesn't even look like a Nike shoe, well, you're not going to buy it. You know it. But it looks just like it. But it isn't. And it falls apart and you got ripped out. It was a $20 sneaker and you got it for $150. And it didn't work the same. Didn't work the same. I'm not plugging Nike. I don't own any Nike. I'm just using that as an example. There are 150 ones, maybe just as bad as the $20 one. I don't know. You know, a lot of people buy them and enjoy them, so I assume they're good. Revelation 20, verse 15. This is during that white throne judgment as well. And he says very plainly, and whosoever, this is in 15, no, it's in chapter 20, verse 15. He says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Very simple. Remember Moses saying, take my name out of the book of life, but let Israel live? And God basically said, well, we can't do that. You're in there. And, well, I'm going to let them live anyway. But, you know, every human being that's ever lived, their name is in that book of life. And if it's not, then you get cast in the lake of fire. Well, the only one that's not written there is Satan and all of his demons. They're not found there. They go in. Very simple. Very simple judgment. They're listed under the goats in a separate book, you know. I'm making that up. Don't write in about that. You know. But they're listed under the goats. And they have to go over there where they're reserved, where the goats go. And that's in hell fire. While we're in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. See, they will have already, all of these will have already been thrown away and into that lake of fire. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And he says, but the fearful, this is all of these elements of Satan's character and personality and what he does to human beings. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abomination or the abominable, and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, he is the father of all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death there is no return from. It's appointed to all mankind to die once. You will have done that. You won't die again. Satan will have died once, and the demons, when you go through and listen to all of the Holy Day tapes and the success of the ones that we've done since then, you'll find that he dies too. He kills them all, brings them all back up. But now Satan and the devils go into that second death. That's it. There is no return. It is over for them. Verse 23. And the city had no need of sun, this is the city, neither of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. 24, and the nation of them which are saved, the nations of them that are saved, question mark, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gate shall be open, and it talks about all that. And verse 27, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So they're not going to be there, but everybody else is going to be there. I say, question mark, when you read this, it says, and the nations of them which are saved. Ooh, maybe some won't be. Ooh, see, it shows heaven and hell and this judgment period. It doesn't at all. You know, I looked that up in the original Greek last night. It's interesting. The old says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk. You know what the Greek says? And the nations of the saved in its light shall walk. Well, we know who's going to be saved. Makes it very plain. But they were still believing, these translators, they were all believing in the satanic version of this, weren't they? So they had to write it so, well, we have to leave it so maybe some of them won't be there. Maybe. It's back to the heaven and hell deal. So it's interesting to go through that Greek once in a while. Well, we'll continue more with this next week. And maybe we'll go another one after. I don't know. We'll just keep going until we get it done. But I want to show everyone these different words that were used. It's supposed to be there. And God has great meaning in these words. He just didn't pick up something and say, I hope they get the meaning. No, it's a deep thing. God does things perfectly. And it's always right. And after we get through the whole thing and then go back and really read that parable with even more understanding, it'll never leave your mind. You will know how important that is for mankind. So again, pray for everyone that we all make it back next week, and pray for anyone who is sick. And at this time, then we'll close and we'll see you all again next week.